Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right, all right, all right, boys and girls, it is time to start. I tell you what, I am running major behind today and getting off the Gary Snyder regional show so that we can get on our national show. Those of you that don't know what we do every day this time of day, we do our regional show here in Indiana, and we bounce right on over here to the national show, and welcome across the United States. I know we're a minute or two late. Well, that's okay, guys. We got a jam-packed show for you coming up here. Right after when we team up with 1400 WBAT, Mr. Jay Graves, jgravesreport.com. Holla at your boy. See what's on his mind today. BCS, obviously we're going to talk a little bit more about the Colts situation, what's going on there. And, of course, sports. That's what me and Jay do. We talk sports, and we let Gary feel important by being a part of that conversation. But, no, you know, it was Iowa caucus last night. Obviously, Mitt Romney barely pulled it out just really basically a virtual tie with Rick Santorum. And what a guy he has been. And very interesting to see how that'll pan out. And obviously, Ron Paul with a distant third. And Gary doesn't agree that maybe it is a distant third. But, hey, we want to hear your thoughts. Also, State House, Democrats locking themselves in a room all over this right-to-work issue. What are your thoughts on that? We're going to get into some sports and talk some sports right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente of the aforementioned, and so glad that you could be with us on January 4th, Hump Day, first Hump Day of 2012. I almost said 11. I'm still signing 2011 as my on my dates and you know, so. Well, are you guys still signing that? Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'll be right back with 1400 WBAT in Marion. Well, we're supposed to be teaming up at 1400 WBAT. We're going to try to continue to do that. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. We are trying to team up with 1400 WBAT and Marion. Gary says he has music, but there is no music, as we can tell. We are still trying to fix that issue. Not sure what's going on there. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. It's Wednesday. What do you expect?
Yeah. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM plus a competitive FSC that's on all dispatches. Freightco drivers average 2,500-plus miles a week, spend their weekends at home. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first or just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call. 866-397-2581, 866-397-2581, you can visit them on the web at freightco.org, Freightco, they are a freight moving company. Let's see, Tom Marquis, he joins us now, hopefully.
We are here. I don't know if you didn't have your mic on. I refuse to accept any responsibility for what just happened because I have no idea what happened. So I can only assume that it happened on your end. But, hey, that's great about the super.
No, and that's fine, Tom, because I was blaming you when you couldn't hear me. So go ahead.
And it's all good. We are here on the Balance Radio Network. We are streaming across the United States. And with us is Mr. Jay Grace of the JayGraceReport.com. Holla at your boy.
Holla at your boy. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
Again, I'm too white to do that. It would sound something really – it'd sound really stupid if I tried it.
So,
all right, Jay, we bring you on occasionally, I guess more than occasionally, so you can give us your take on the topic of the day. The JayGraceReport.com. What do you have for us today?
Oh, man, the topic for today, I wrote an article called Where They Do That At? and what
I'm sorry, please
is,
say that again.
Where They Do That At? It's an old Southern term people use, like, what is going on? I wrote an article about, since we were all over the Colts situation, I wrote an article about Jerry Jones and how Jerry Jones has complete control of the Dallas Cowboys. This guy is the owner, the president, and the general manager. Where they do that at? It's ridiculous that he has all three titles and can't figure out why the Dallas Cowboys can't get into the playoffs and win a playoff game since 1995.
Because Tony Romo can't handle a snap and put it down for the kicker to kick an extra point.
You're right. I mean, but see, I believe that this guy is in it only for the money, and he only wants to win if he can take all the credit. So I applaud Jim Irsay for making the move that he made this week, because obviously there was a power struggle there. You know, we just talked yesterday about how in the world do you have a chairman that has a weekly TV show and your coaches don't. You know, sometimes you got to step out of the way and allow people to do their jobs. If you're going to hire people to do jobs, then you've got to step out of the way and allow them to do it. And I think Jerry Jones is doing those wonderful football fans down in the state of Texas a disservice by trying to hold on to every aspect of the team as opposed to going out and hiring football people to make football decisions.
Well, first of all, I can't stand Jerry Jones. And anytime I have a chance to watch the Dallas Cowboys and watch them lose, I do it simply so I can see the look on his Botox face when they lose every single time, and he sits there and wants to cry but can't because his whole friggin' face is numb from the Botox.
I don't know, Jay, where you found that picture at on your blog, but it's classic, of Jay Graves. And it's on national television of Jimmy
right.
Johnson, not Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones of picking his nose. I love it. It's classic. Apparently, that's what Bill Polian's been doing, because he said today that he feels like that not having a backup plan for the Colts ultimately led to his demise. And so, agree with that or not agree with that, but I think that maybe that might be part of it. He was picking his nose, relying on Peyton Manning to carry the weight of the team.
You're exactly
right. What happens when you're a multi-billionaire like that and some blogger puts up a picture of you picking your nose on national television?
Hey, it was...
Where'd they do that at?
Hey, it's classic. But this guy, I mean, you can think about the fans. I was born in Texas. I'm a West Texas native. And you learn the game of football before you even leave the hospital. So, you know, it's a shame that those people spend the type of money that they spend down there, and he won't deliver a winner simply because he wants to take all the credit. I mean, remember, he took Jimmy Johnson, won two Super Bowls back-to-back, 92-93, and then the following year he fires him. And then he goes out and gets Barry Switzer. He wins the Super Bowl in 95, and he fires him. How do you win Super Bowls and get fired?
Well, be a coach for the Cowboys?
it's mind-blowing. So I'm just kind of, you know, to tie it all back together, I'm just glad that Jim Irsay pulled the trigger when he did. And
well, let me take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about that a little bit more, since we really didn't get into it quite the way I wanted to yesterday. I know we only have you till 5:30 because you're afraid to talk politics with us. Is that okay? You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
You listening to the Balance Radio Network. I tell you what, I myself am scared to talk politics with Gary sometimes because he thinks he's right. I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But, you know, we're going to get that picture that Jay has up on his blog, up on the Gary Snyder Show, also up on The Balance, www.thebalanceonline.com. And I'm going to tweet it all over the world. I don't know where Jay came up with that, but it's classic. Jerry Jones sitting here picking his nose in his suite. Oh, man. It is classic, let me tell you. Well, welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. We're talking about the Colts and obviously what the Colts have got to do. And I know they've reached out to some teams and said, hey, we want to start talking to your personnel about our possible opening. And so we'll certainly jump into that conversation a little bit more with the Gary Snyder Show than what we've been able to do in the last couple of days with Jay Graves of the JayGravesReport.com. So glad that you could be with us on the first hump day of 2012. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317 247 8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Here on the Gary Snyder Show, welcome back. We have with us, as we do every day at this time from now to the end, Tom Marquis. Tom, say hi.
Howdy, and who do that? Or how's that go, Jay? Who do that?
Where they do that at?
Where they do that at? Oh, my God. It's classic. And we just posted that picture of Jerry Jones. His name's Jerry Jones, right? I did get that right, didn't
yeah.
I? Okay. I was second-guessing myself there for a moment in his press box, picking his nose. So it is on the Gary Snyder Facebook page. It's on my Facebook page, and it will be across the United States before the end of this show.
DJ, I am to politics what you are to sports, because if you go to GarySnyderShow.com today, I – posted a question for everybody. Which one did the Tea Party endorse? That's right, all of them. And I have Sharon Engel there in her tinfoil hat, Richard Murdoch, and Christine O'Donnell. I guess you had to see it to appreciate it.
I saw it. I was wondering where you got that picture of Richard Murdoch. I tell you, it looks like he's constipated and trying to push a turd out. That's what it looks like. I'm just saying.
It is pretty awesome, though. One thing you'll learn about me, Jay, is that I am that person, when you see a wounded animal in a cage, and you know that person that goes up and pokes them with a stick?
You're that guy?
No, I'm the one using the bigger stick. Let's talk Colts. Obviously, we'll stay away from the politics with Jay here. But, you know, you talk about Jerry Jones kind of wanting to run everything in Dallas. When you take a Jim Irsay, talk to Jim Irsay, and I know there were some rumors out there, probably not very good rumors, that maybe Jim may be looking to do that himself. I don't see there's any way Jim Irsay does that with the Colts. He's going to find a good GM, pay the guy, and let a football guy run the football team, and he'll keep to his quirky tweets.
Yeah, I think that would be the case. I don't see Jim Irsay as being the guy that wants to be hands-on, because I think he's smart enough to know what his limitations are. And so being the owner, the smart thing is you get someone that knows how to do that job and trust them doing it. You know, I remember hearing years ago, I read something years ago about Henry Ford. He says, I don't need to know all the answers. I just need to be able to pick up the phone and get the answer. And so I think that Irsay is that type of guy to say, hey, I'm going to pay someone to do the job. Just go out and do what you're supposed to do. Because he did that with Polian. I mean, he let him do his job, but his job, you know, allowing him to do that for so long, obviously caught up with him at the end because he had to let him go. But I think that they had a really good run while it lasted.
Well, you know, in all likelihood, you know, I agree. But I think at the same time, as much as Jim Irsay likes to rely on his personnel and the people around him, I would say in all likelihood the next Colts general manager won't hold the kind of power that Bill Polian did. And you know, the movement into a new era with the Colts, well, let's face it, may not include quarterback Peyton Manning, who has a $28 million option bonus that's due to him in March, whose health right now is very much in doubt. You can't trade him, because if you trade him, you still got to deal with that $28 million, and you still got to deal with the cap. The only thing you can do is keep him or drop him. And if you're going to drop Peyton Manning, I don't know. That's a big gulp to swallow. I don't know what you guys think about that. But I think that we keep Peyton Manning. And, again, I still say that Caldwell stays, Peyton Manning stays, and Andrew Luck never suits up for the Indianapolis Colts. But we do get some good picks out of it.
Well, see, I think that there still is the option of restructuring that deal or that bonus and then trading him after you pay him whatever you're going to pay him, because you've got to keep him and pay him and then trade him so that you can get something for him. Because if you trade him to another team, that other team's got to pick up that money. So I think it's worth it to keep him and trade him, because you can, like we talked about before, you can buy a lot of groceries with what Peyton Manning can bring to the table. I say you set him in the front seat like the old man on Ferris Bueller's Day Off and ride around with him for a couple of months until you figure out what you're going to do with it.
See, I may be the contrarian here, but I think if there is a market out there, you have teams that will pick up that bonus if
That's
you
right.
hand them Peyton Manning.
That's
and
right.
we'll give up draft choices, teams that feel that, hey, a good quarterback is all we need to make the Super Bowl. The Colts will draft Andrew Luck. I don't think there will be any question about that.
Right.
You know, I guess where you can probably flip a coin is whether they keep Peyton Manning or trade him. I don't think they cut him. It may be that he may not play again. It may be that his neck is so bad, he may be the offensive coordinator for the Colts next year. Who knows? But, you know, I think Andrew Luck is a pick, and I'm not convinced Caldwell is staying. I think when you look at, bringing in a new GM, I think Irsay will leave that up to the new GM. I'm sure he'll interview Caldwell. But don't feel bad for Caldwell, because he's still under contract. And even if they boot his ass out the door, he's still getting paid till that contract is up.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, he's gonna get a good severance pay, and it's not about feeling bad for Caldwell. Here's what I think. I think honestly, the decision for the new GM, whoever that might be, and obviously Jim Irsay is out looking for that person as we speak, and we don't know when that'll be. Obviously, there's a few names that are being dropped around, and obviously Jim Irsay has contacted several teams for permission to interview candidates who very well are under contract themselves elsewhere. He's also interviewing some people that are currently on staff, and you know, so the quick movement follows the firing of Bill Polian and general manager Chris Polian, and I think that really Chris Polian had a lot to do with the firing of Bill Polian. I think that Jim Irsay came to Bill and said, hey, we can't do this with your son anymore. It's time for him to go. I think Bill said, you know, we come as a package. You get rid of him, you get rid of me. The conversation kind of went like this. Okay, well, you're both gone. I just think there was too much dissension in the ranks. You know, obviously, currently the Colts director of player personnel, Tom Telsco, is under consideration. We've heard names from the Green Bay Packers and the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, the Chicago Bears now have released their general manager, Jerry Angelo. He was fired. That's a big consideration. If he comes on board, that is a big plus for Jim Caldwell, because they like each other and they are friends and they go back a long ways. So if Jerry Angelo does become the new GM of the Indianapolis Colts, you can bet Jim Caldwell stays on the sidelines.
But one thing you don't want to be as a new GM, you don't want to keep Caldwell if he is not your guy. You do not want to be the IU athletic director who hires Calvin Sampson. You don't want to be that guy that keeps the bad coach around because he's a friend.
Right.
And you're right, and that's why we won't see Jim Tressel around anymore either. Jim Tressel will go somewhere. I don't think he'll go back to the college level. I think there's a couple teams that will actually look at him and the possibility as a defensive coordinator, and I think the Minnesota Vikings might be one that would, would, would come courting Jim Tressel as well. So don't look for him to be on staff ever with the Indianapolis Colts. And that might be a silent firing and just, you know, hey, you know, you guys want him, you've got him. And I think some of the teams that might come suiting for Peyton Manning, obviously the Jets would be a team that, you know, Rex Ryan has said, oh, I'm not really interested in Peyton Manning. He can't say that, but everybody knows he would love to have Peyton Manning in the same city as little brother. That would just be heaven. So they would try to make that deal work. Washington Redskins, obviously, Gary, that's one of the things you and I first started talking about when you and I teamed up together and our shows teamed up together, was one of the first things I ever said on your show was Peyton Manning going to Washington Redskins, and that was on a blog that I wrote, which piqued your interest. So that is still alive and very, very well with the Indianapolis Colts. But let's face it, there's not a lot of teams out there that's going to come up with the kind of money that it takes to get Peyton Manning. And, you know, that Archie Manning also said, you know, oftentimes those of us that are dads know this, that, you know, when we speak for our kids, usually the first thing we say is the true thing, and then if we have to retract later on, we do that. So my thing is, yeah, I think Archie did speak when he shouldn't have spoke, and it's going to be hard for Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck to be on the same team. And if you go back and look at the interviews from last night or the other night with Andrew Luck, they point blank ask him, what do you think about basically holding a clipboard for a couple of years against Peyton Manning? You can see by the look in his eyes, that's not really what I want to do. I want to play in the NFL, but if that's what it has to be, that's what it has to be. So there's a lot of decisions that have to be made here, and it's not as easy and cut and dry as one might think.
I think you're, first of all, underestimating the willingness for a lot of teams out there to take on a Peyton Manning. Sure, it's a lot of money, but there are teams out there that have a lot of money, and a lot of teams that have a lot of money that think they are a quarterback away from a Super Bowl.
But Peyton Manning's not that quarterback. Peyton Manning is not that quarterback. That is a brainwashing. If he's that quarterback, then why can't he be that quarterback here with Indianapolis? Why would, if he's that quarterback, why would Jim Irsay say, okay, here, take him, because we want Andrew Luck? No. If he's that quarterback, we keep him. He's not that quarterback.
That's the difficulty. You know, the difficulty is trying to understand or trying to figure out whether this guy is going to be healthy enough to play. Because if he's healthy enough to play, then you keep him. But if he's not, and we won't know that in March because he's still going through a certain amount of rehab, et cetera. But Gabe makes a great point. There are a lot of teams that are desperate enough out there to take a Peyton Manning at 75%. Because they just haven't had the luck in having any type of quarterback over an extended period of time. But I just believe if I'm the Indianapolis coach, I bubble wrap the guy like we talked about before, sit him up and try to get rid of him as quick as we can before people figure out he can't play.
Well, that's
I'm never
going to
buy his car off of you, Jay.
That's Peyton Manning, Jay. I mean, that'd be...
Hey,
that'd
Jay,
be
I know you have to get going. You got to go pick up some children, so we'll let you go. Real quick, where can people find your stuff?
Hey, you can find me at thejgravesreport.com, and please hit me up on Twitter at jgravesreport. Holla at
I think we'll talk to you Friday, right?
Friday, yeah.
All right, you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
All right, you're listening to the Balance Radio Network. Just bundle them all up, get him out of town. Everybody knows it's Peyton Manning. Are you kidding me? Always trying to do a street hustle. I am. Now, that's got to be the best. Hurry up, get him all bundled up, guys. We don't want anybody to know it's Peyton Manning. We don't want anybody to know he can't play. Don't let anybody know. Turn it back to mileage. That is classic. You're listening to the Balance Radio Network. Somebody get me a Gatorade.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Thursday, partly cloudy in the morning, then becoming mostly sunny with a high of 42. Thursday night, mostly clear, then becoming partly cloudy with a low of 32 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny and windy with a high of 48. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 42. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
This is Fred Thompson, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Show wrapping things up, and let me say this right now. Again, I had a couple of calls over the break. If you want to call in and chime in, give your take, if you will, about something we are talking about, you are more than welcome. We encourage it. But again, the phone calls where you want to give a comment but not go on the air, we try to keep these lines for callers who want to go on the air. If you want to leave a comment about something we are talking about or speaking about or an issue you care about, you can usually go to GarySnyderShow.com and obviously leave a comment there on any number of issues. If you want to give us a call about the Colts, right to work, Iowa caucuses, anything we have talked about today, You can do that at 765-662-1400. Again, the number, 662-1400. All right, Tom, I think when we talk about the Colts and Peyton Manning and what's going to happen to Peyton Manning next year, who we're going to draft, obviously we're just talking theories here. We don't know. We don't know what the new GMs are going to want to do. We're not going to know. But I think to say that there's not a market out there for a Peyton Manning, if he is healthy or healthy enough, for a team that may be what they consider themselves a quarterback away from a Super Bowl, I think there is that market there for them.
Well, yeah, I'm still hung up on JC. Package them all up, get him over to a team before anybody knows he can't play. I mean, hello, this is Peyton Manning. you think that is not going to be like the little kept secret the Colts are going to be able to keep if Peyton Manning is healthy to play? Package them all up.
It's like you're going out and buying a 92 Jetta or something for $800. Yeah. This is a $28 million quarterback.
That is classic. And it reminds me of one of those street hustles, you know, when you see the shells of the pick the pea. It's under this one. Which one? I love it. But you know what? You're right. There are people who are going to try to put something together for Peyton Manning if he's healthy. Keep in mind, it's got to make sense for them, not just financially, not can we afford to take over the contract to pay that $28 million, but can Peyton Manning play? And here's the facade that I want people to be very, very careful about. Even if Peyton Manning comes back to the Colts, or even if he goes to another team, he'll never be the same Peyton Manning again. He'll never be able to do what he's already done. And he did it with the Colts. And I agree with you, Gary, if he's going to do anything but wear a uniform, it's going to be retire or become a coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, that door is wide open for him. You know, and we don't know. We don't know what conversations are being talked about, but certainly one of the far-fetched conspiracy rumors is that Peyton Manning is being talked to by Jim Irsay to be the next general manager. Here's your salary, $28 million. What do you think? And might be an attractive offer for him. He doesn't have to leave football. He gets to make a lot of decisions. But when you're a player and you're a competitive player like that, I think you want to be officially ruled out. And so I think that he doesn't go to another team, even though a lot of teams would like him and even though a lot of teams would put up. You know, I just don't think that he'll go anywhere. I think he'll stay right here with the Colts as either a player or a front office member, or he retires. I cannot see him putting on a uniform with another team. And I could be proven wrong. I mean, obviously, Brett Favre, Green Bay fans probably thought the same thing about Brett Favre and when the Jets come a-knocking for them. But I think we got to be very careful that Peyton Manning and Brett Favre are two different players, two different personalities, and I just don't see Peyton Manning, number 18, following the path of Brett Favre and going to the same city as his brother. Keep in mind, his brother left the Chargers to play for the Giants so that they wouldn't be in the same division. So, and that's how Philip Rivers got his break. So what I would say is Peyton Manning is a very, very shrewd business person. He knows what he's doing, and he already knows what he's going to do. He just likes to keep us guessing.
Well, and I think you're right to a certain point that if Peyton Manning can play football next year, he's playing football. I don't know Peyton Manning, but just judging his character and him over the years and the competitiveness that he has, if the doctor says, hey, Peyton, you're good to go, you can go out there, there are no health risks, if you get blindsided, your neck is going to be fine. He's playing, and Andrew Luck is holding that clipboard next year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. but, you know, it's up in the air. And, again, after seeing Joe Montana leave the 49ers and go to the Chiefs, Brett Favre, I think anything is possible in the business of the NFL.
Anything is possible in the business of the NFL. That's absolutely for sure. But I just think that when you look at Peyton Manning playing anywhere but Indianapolis, that's a big stretch. That's a huge stretch, and I'm not sure that I'm ready to make that leap. I'm not saying that I won't ever make that leap. I may not have that choice. And Gary, I would disagree. I think you do know Peyton Manning very well. I think you got to know him at spring training camp 1 year. So, you know, don't sell yourself short there, buddy. Don't be so humble.
Well, again, I stepped on his foot and just prayed that he was not, let's say, on the injured report the next day, because I would have been the one run out of town.
I think that's where everything started. I think that when he went to pull his foot out from underneath yours, it pulled a string of muscles. I think everybody needs to blame Gary Snyder for the downfall of Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. I can't believe I didn't put the dots together till now.
You guys want to chime in on this or anything else we've been talking about today? You can do that, 662-1400. Peyton Manning, will he stay or will he go? Front office or on the field? Andrew Luck, a Colts draft pick here in 118 days or whatever it is. We'll see. Quick break. When we come back, we will wrap up everything that has been the Gary Snyder Show today. That's who you're listening to right now.
Dollars.
Hey, you're listening to the Balance Radio Network. A lot of fun. Good to have you along here on a Wednesday afternoon, January 4th, 2012. And, you know, I was talking a little bit with Jay and Gary a little bit earlier about, you know, one of the big regrets that Bill Polian has. And one of the big regrets that he's starting to voice, at least through the Associated Press, is that he made one big mistake in Indianapolis, and that was not having an adequate backup plan for Peyton Manning. It cost, he believes that was part of a big part of what cost the Colts vice chairman and his son their jobs. And, you know, maybe that's true. On Wednesday, Polian told the Associated Press that not grooming a replacement for the injured Peyton Manning was the primary reason the Colts collapsed this season, going from the Super Bowl contender to the league's worst record. I don't know that that's ever been done. And to quote Bill Polian, I've always told the staff that our approach could be to hope for the best and plan for the worst. I didn't do the adequate enough job of planning for the circumstances we were in. And that was what Polian said in a phone interview that led to catastrophe. When asked if he was referring specifically to finding a backup for Manning, Polian said yes. It's the first time Polian has commented since he and his son, general manager Chris Polian, were fired on Monday. And again, that's a part of the article written by Michael Marriott, AP sports writer in Indianapolis. So, you know, interesting thoughts there. And so we certainly want to, if you want to chime in, 917-889-8516. This is the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
many of you are Social Distortion fans out there? You really got to like them. All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Tom, are you a Social Distortion fan?
Actually, yes. I do have that very song on my iPod. So, yeah, I like them. Good stuff. You never see.
Well, Tom, one thing that I guess while we're on the subject of football, and we've been talking a little bit of Colts here, if you want to chime in on this, 765-662-1400. It has to be something that is, I guess, losing my interest very quickly, and that is this whole bowl season. How many bowls do we have now? 30-something? Did anybody watch, other than Michigan and Virginia Tech, did anybody watch that last night? Does anybody care who wins tonight or the fact that Clemson and West Virginia are playing? Does anyone care?
Well, I think all sports fans care. I mean, I don't know what you mean by care. I mean, does it have the ramifications as perhaps maybe a lot of the other BCS games go? Maybe not. But, you know, if you're a good sports fan and you like to cover sports, yeah, I think we all care.
See, I could give a rat's rear end about this, and sure, I might watch the national championship game simply because it's the national championship game. But anybody outside of Clemson and West Virginia, I think this game has no interest, and I can't believe that they have to be happy with the TV ratings or the ticket sales for this game. And trust me, I am going to be watching The Middle and Modern Family tonight over Clemson, West Virginia. Just cannot get excited about it.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I love the show The Middle. I didn't realize it. You know, I never know what night shows come on. We DVR everything and catch up on them throughout the week. So I don't know that I'm going to watch that either, but I think it'll be a good game. I mean, you know, I am disappointed to see what's going on with the ticket sales, though. That was an interesting article that I think we may have read the same article. So I don't know what goes on.
If you take a look at last night's game, Michigan and Virginia Tech, awful attendance at that, awful.
Well, and that goes back to what I said. I think people would just get bowled out. I think if we could go to a playoff system to get to the national championships and make the playoff brackets bowl games. If you've got to have a bowl and you've got to name it for marketing purposes and money purposes, and it's all about money, you can get the same audience. And I would venture to say that you can get more audience by making those particular playoff brackets bowl games and make them count for something. I think really what matters to a lot of people in today's economy that – you know, really a lot of weight that goes into what bowl you go to is how well your team travels. And if you've got to spend a lot of money for hotel, gas to get to and from the game, and plus, you know, staying in hotels and food, it'll hurt ticket sales. But I think if they're going to watch a national championship game because they've earned the right to be in a national championship game, I don't know that they got it right this year. Maybe they did get it right. But I think that fans would be more willing to travel. I mean, obviously, if the Colts went to the Super Bowl, there'd be more Colts fans willing to travel to go see the Colts play in the Super Bowl in a remote location than they would be to follow them to some away game that – really, at the end of the day, they can just watch at home on television. So, yeah, I think that ticket prices and stuff play a big bearing on, I mean, what goes on. And with that kind of payout, you know that the tickets have got to be up there.
You know, and maybe call me old-fashioned, but, I long for the day where there were a handful of bowls. Maybe you started watching them the week of Christmas. Maybe they were sprinkled in throughout the week before Christmas, the week after, maybe one New Year's Eve. But you have three bowls you watched on New Year's Day, or maybe four. You watched the Cotton Bowl, you watched the Orange Bowl, you watched the Rose Bowl, and you got excited about those. You watched those games. You paid attention to them because that was it. Not stringing out 30 bowls over almost the length of an entire football season.
I agree. There's way too many bowls and way too many. You can't keep track of them all. You cannot keep track of them all. And, you know, why? I don't get it. I mean, they're not playing for anything. Money, yes, that's true. They are playing for some substantial amount of money, but I don't know. I don't get it.
And if you're one of these kids out there playing, and let's use Andrew Luck as an example, you're sitting there watching Andrew Luck play in this bowl game that means nothing other than a big payout for Stanford, and he's won bad cut or blindside away from ruining an NFL career. You have to believe that. What do you do if you're one of these players? I mean, what are you playing for out there in a bowl game? It's an exhibition game most of the times, and you're out there risking life and limb, or at least limb, and for what? I mean, really, an exhibition game?
Well, as far as the players goes, it's pretty easy. They're out there playing for the fact that it's their nature. It's what they're bred to do. And they know that a lot of times they may not get the opportunity to be seen and spotted by a lot of scouts. And a lot of players feel like that if they can get in a position to get spotted by scouts, they want to play in the bowl game. So that's a good opportunity for them. So for the players, it's easy. Why they love the bowl games. They love to get out there and play as many games as they can. That just means that they can continue their season a little bit longer. And every single one of them, Peyton Manning included, knows that they're just one hit away from being in a wheelchair, really, if you look at it. Every NFL player, every college player out there knows that the amount of force that this game has and what a physical game has that it has on you and that it wears you down. There's a reason that most NFL players don't last past their mid-30s.
Well, again, I'm fed up with the bowl season. If you want to chime in on this, you can. You can do that at 765-662-1400 if you want to, I guess, give us your take on whether are worth it. Are there too many? Caller, you got a comment on this?
Yes, there are way too many bowl games on. Like tonight, for example, America's Funniest Videos is on instead, and I'll be watching that.
And my thought exactly, I'm watching the middle tonight. I'm not turning over. If you're outside of Clemson or West Virginia, do you really care about this game?
I could care less.
Thanks for your call. Anything else?
You're welcome. That's it.
You know, there you go, Tom. Our first caller, he agrees with me.
America's Funniest Video, the ratings just skyrocketed. So many people are going to be watching. I love the show, The Middle, though. That is one of my favorite shows, though. It cracks me up. Unfortunately, it's just another show on national television to make Indiana Hoosiers look like a bunch of ignorant hicks, but that's okay.
Well, hey, let's be honest. We do a good enough job of that on our own, and we don't need national TV to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are a bunch of hicks. I won't say that we're all ignorant because, you know, there's your group and then there's my group. And so
if you want to chime in on the Bulls or anything we've talked about today, we have a couple more minutes where we can take your calls. And again, I want to say this simply because while we do appreciate your calls, and we've had a handful tonight that call, they seem to time out the break perfectly and give me an earful, but yet don't want to come on the air. That's what my website is for, GarySnyderShow.com. Go leave all the nice or nasty comments you want there. And trust me, if you go there and take a look, there's a lot of both. But if you're going to give us a call, we ask that you come on the air. Is that too much to ask, Tom?
I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to call a talk show, what kind of comments are you getting that people don't want to share on the air?
What they're doing at the General Assembly is wrong. I don't want. Usually the call will start. I don't want to go on the air, but.
You know, one of these days
we're
going
to get.
Don't
have caller ID. We can't track you down and say, "Hey, Joe, made that call."
One of these days we're going to get a Gary Snyder screener, and you know what? You'll never know they called. That's what screeners are for.
That would be so nice. Because right now I don't know if it's a caller or someone wanting the local weather. All right, Tom, real quick, wrap it up. Where can people find you?
www.TheBalanceOnline.com, Twitter, T-Balance, Facebook, The Balance and Balance Radio Network. Stick around. We're going to air hour number two of The Gary Snyder Show, as heard on 1400 WBAT.
How about that? And it is uploaded. So I want to thank all of our guests today, Kip Tour, Jim Banks, Jay Graves. Am I forgetting anybody? Hold on. Let me check. Tom Marquis. And, of course, we missed the call from Mary Beth Schneider from the Indianapolis Star because, hey, she was actually working. All right, real quick, you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
And you're listening to The Balance Radio Network. So glad that you guys are with us here on a Wednesday hump day, January 4th. Well, that does it for the live portion of the show. Wow, we can get on some conversations here on The Balance, can we not? I am so glad, though, that you guys are a part of my listening audience. Y'all rock, man. We'll be right back with hour number two, as heard, on 1400 WBAT in Marion.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on...
This is Michael Reagan, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Empty in the valley of your heart, the sun it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. But I will hold on hope and I won't let you choke.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Welcome back. Before we get to our next guest, Barry Bunker Chevrolet, they are your hometown Chevy and used car dealer. Whether you're looking for that new Chevy or that perfect used vehicle, Barry Bunker Chevrolet has the car or truck you're looking for at the price no one will beat. And when I say no one, what do I really mean? Exactly, no one. With their amazing inventory and deals to move that inventory, that's important. Barry Bunker Chevrolet is your one stop for Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area for that new Chevy or used vehicle. Now let's talk service. Keeping your GM vehicle running at its best shouldn't be complicated, and there shouldn't be any guesswork involved. Let Barry Bunker Chevrolet certified service technicians make maintenance simple for you. They are your one-stop shop for all of your maintenance and service needs. So here's what you need to do. Call Barry. He's waiting. He's there. You know the saying. 866-466-1956. You can visit them at barrybunker.com or just head on over to their store at 1307 North Wabash Avenue, right here in Marion, and experience the Barry Bunker Chevrolet difference. And, of course, I should not have to say this.
because you all should know it, but here it goes anyway. The name that is on the door is always on the showroom floor, Barry Bunker Chevrolet. All right, joining us as he does every week at this time, State Senator Jim Banks. Jim, welcome.
Hey, Gary, great to be with you again.
Hey, I want to start this conversation off with, I guess, I don't know if you want to call it a mea culpa, coming to their senses, whatever you want to call it, but Governor Daniels today rescinded the new security policy at the State House that capped access to the State House. I did not get your opinion on it, but I did see that State Senator Mike Delf was completely against this. What was your opinion on this, and what do you think of the governor's move here?
Well, the governor's decision today to rescind the cap on the number of people who could come to the State House was certainly a good decision. I think, give him and others who were in their shoes a little bit of credit for the decision that they had to make, and you know, anticipating a large number of people showing up, but in no way should the state government prevent any Hoosier from coming to the State House to talk about issues and meet with their legislators and testify on issues that are important to them. So the governor's decision was a good one. I don't think that this is the end of that particular discussion. I think you'll continue to hear bits and pieces about what's the best way to protect the people within the State House, and that's probably a healthy discussion, but I'm glad that the governor rescinded the rules like he did this morning.
Well, let me ask you this. With all the protests expected, and I don't know, maybe you can give us an update on what it was like today. Do you have a concern for your safety during all this?
Never. I've never had a concern for my safety. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago when the State House, before I got here, decided to implement the metal detectors and have guests go through the metal detectors. And, you know, one thing I noticed last year being a rookie in the building was when I would swipe my card and walk in the door, not go through a metal detector at one of the entrances where the metal detectors don't exist, that five or six people would come right through the door right behind me without having to swipe their cards. So the security here doesn't always make, they try, but it doesn't always make a lot of sense. And when they did implement the metal detectors a few years ago, there were groups that were upset about that. Pro-gun groups around the state that were upset that they would no longer be able to carry a gun in the State House. And so that was an issue that was a bit controversial back then, and now it appears that they want to take that even a few steps further, and I think some of that was misguided. And at least it looked bad in this political environment where it looked like they were trying to somewhat clamp down on the union protesters who are coming, who have a right to be here to voice the opinion that they have.
Now, I'm going to take credit for the governor's decision because we had Brian Howie on yesterday, and Brian said, hey, why don't you have your listeners call the governor, gave his phone number out, and Brian Howie called me back today and said, great job. So I guess this show can take credit for that happening. Maybe not, though.
Well, there you go. That's a great way to look at it. But there is a flip side to it that some people are talking about today. We showed up today, and just like last year, in the midst of all of the union protests, there are buses parked around the State House with Illinois and Michigan and Kentucky license plates that likely brought busloads of union protesters who don't even live in the state of Indiana. And to think that we would restrict Hoosiers from entering the building when protesters from other states paid for by the unions to be here would be able to come into the building instead. There's something wrong with that as well.
Let me ask you this. Have you heard a version of This Little Light of Mine yet?
I have not. That brings back some fond memories of the last session. And I'm not sure if I brought my – today's the first day of the session, by the way, and I'm not sure if I brought my flip camera to the State House or not. I need to find it and dust it off a little bit and see if I can't pick up some good music like that again this year from the friendly protesters.
And Jim's appearance on the Gary Snyder Show today, obviously brought to you by Flip Video.
There you go.
I love Solidarity Forever. That's my favorite.
Well, they're on YouTube, on my YouTube page for your listeners to view, and hopefully we can add to that library sometime this session.
Well, let's talk about the actual session. I know you're over in the Senate, but all the news seems to be happening over in the House. It appears the Democrats have locked themselves in a closet, aren't coming out, and the House could not get a quorum today. So Speaker Bosma has adjourned for the day, and I guess we'll try again tomorrow?
I hope so. I think they'll continue to try again throughout the evening. I'll tell you, Gary, sometimes I wish I would have run for the House side. They seem to have more fun and always seems to be more exciting over there on their side with some of these theatrics that we see today. And, of course, on the Senate side, we went into session at 1:30 and we sat in our seats for about an hour and did much of the procedural work that happens on a first day or so. And I know that committee hearings are going to kick off right away on the Senate side. Unfortunately, the quorum is not there due to the Democrats hiding somewhere and not allowing a quorum to be met for business to begin on the House side. And that's sad. It's unfortunate. We were elected to come here to do a job, and once again for the second session in a row, at least here temporarily, that's going to be blocked.
Now, they have 3 days before they start getting fined, correct?
Yeah, there was a provision that we passed in the last session that was part of the budget bill that says if your absence denies a quorum for 3 days in a row, you're subject to a $1,000 a day fine, unless you have an excused absence by the leadership of the House or the Senate. So we'll see how that works out. If they block a quorum for 3 days in a row and after that they're subject to the $1,000 a day fine, you know, there is a lot of chatter in the building about how are there holes in the legislation that the Democrats have found that they can get around that. And of course, we hope not, but we'll see here very shortly.
Well, I just before you came on, I had Kip too, and I'm telling you, nothing. No one can make a phone bank light up like Kip. But you know, I guess it's and I guess Kip has his ear to the wind, but maybe some rolling absences just enough to where there isn't a quorum, but no one gets fined. I'm not doing the math here, but Kip seemed to think that maybe that was the option that the Democrats were going to use here eventually.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure how the math works out, but there is some question about how they could keep different people in the room each day and avoid the $1,000 a day fines. And I hope they don't pull that off. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just sad that we can't show up and debate the issues and have healthy discussions and debates about all of the issues, including right to work, but so many other issues that we've worked on over the summer and the fall to introduce in this session. And once again, the minority party is going to deny us the right to do that.
All right, can you hold for a quick break, Jim?
Sure thing.
You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
TLC Management has been and always will be a company that stays true to its values.
That's why the TLC facilities of Colonial Oaks, Rolling Meadows, and Wesleyan Health and Rehab pride themselves on the same values of hope, trust, and integrity.
Our facilities have exceptional rehabilitation services with state-of-the-art equipment and practices. For more information, call Leo Plank at Colonial Oaks Health and Rehab, 674-9791. Kelly Ratliff at Rolling Meadows at 662-9350.
Or Stephanie Hiles at Wesleyan Health and Rehab, 674-3371.
TLC Management, we are your community's first choice.
Brownfield, America's trusted ag source, is available on your smartphone anytime, anywhere. Brownfield Mobile instantly brings you current news, ag market information sponsored by Novozymes BioAg, weather, and more. Plus, you can listen to Brownfield News, including grain and livestock reports. Download it to any smartphone today at brownfieldmobile.com.
Use Optimize 400 with LCO Promoter technology in soybeans for enhanced roots, excellent plant growth, and great ROI. Ask your retailer for Optimize 400 from Novozyme BioAg.
This is the Gary Snyder Show, and I am Andrew Breitbart, sort of the king of all media.
Back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Before we get back to our guest, Jim Banks, State Senator Jim Banks, excuse me. Freightco, they are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing and want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM plus a competitive FSC, and that's on all dispatches. Freightco drivers average 2,500 plus miles a week and spend their weekends at home. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call, 866-397-2581, or visit him on the web at freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. All right, we're speaking with State Senator Jim Banks about the start of the General Assembly, a short session. All right, Jim, you guys got things rolling today in the Senate. If you would, remind us on what committees you set on and what's planned for you in the next couple days.
Yeah, sure. I serve on three committees, transportation, which is also a committee that includes veterans, issues and homeland security issues, kind of a broad number of subjects that are all part of that committee. That's one committee. Another committee is the Natural Resources Committee, which includes agriculture issues. Natural resources and agriculture issues, of course, being important to our district, which is a very rural district that includes Whitley, Huntington, Wabash, and a good part of Grant County. And then the third committee that dominates a lot of my workload is the Senate Education Committee, which was where much of the controversial legislation came from in the last session with the school choice movement, charter schools, vouchers, the teacher evaluation issues, collective bargaining issues that came out of the last session. I don't think that those issues will be nearly as controversial in education this session, but I do expect it to be full of a number of bills, number of issues. I know once the chairman of the committee has introduced a bill to require that schools teach creationism along with evolution in the public schools, and have already had a lot of input from folks around the district who are for and against that. So I expect that to be a controversial issue as well. But those are the three committees I serve on. None of them will meet until next week, though there are a lot of the committees on the Senate side that are meeting throughout the rest of this week, including on Friday when the right to work issue will be heard on Friday before the Senate Labor Committee, and then next week we'll move ahead full speed ahead.
So the first part of this General Assembly, then, you as a state senator spent mostly sitting in committees and going through bills and hearing testimony and voting in them either out of committee or voting them down.
Yeah, well, the session's really split in three parts. I learned this throughout my first session last year. And being a short session for the next few weeks, the month of January, will be devoted to Senate bills, passing them out of committee and then passing them out of the off the floor of the Senate. The month of February will be devoted to the House bills that pass, if there are any, assuming that they go back to work at some point and pass some bills and move them over to the Senate. And then the final 2 weeks, the first half of the month of March, the session has to end in the middle of March. Those last 2 weeks are conference committees and trying to come to agreement on the bills that passed out of the House and the Senate that might have had amendments along the way that the versions might have been a little different. So those are really the three parts of the session, and being a short session, I know already it's going to move very quickly.
Is there a concern that the Democrats stalling on right to work is going to basically stall the whole session and nothing gets done?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you and I have talked about this before. I never thought that they would come back and pull this again like they did last year. I thought they'd probably went home after this last year after the walkout to Illinois and heard from folks in their district who were fed up. I mean, I heard it everywhere I went. Folks were fed up with the process, the walkout, and I thought they would go home and hear that, and it wouldn't happen again. But here we are on day one, and they've already chosen to use the same tactics and walk out and deny the quorum. And if that holds up, if that continues, then absolutely nothing will get done this session. And there are a lot of other very important issues that have been worked hard on throughout the past year to introduce in this session that deserve the debate, deserve the discussion, and these tactics could disrupt all of that as well, unfortunately.
Well, I know you've talked a little bit about getting rid of the estate tax here in Indiana. Talk about how that's going right now, and what are the chances that something similar to your bill or your bill will get through?
Yeah, I think there was a story this morning, actually, about that very issue. The Senator Kinley, who chairs the Appropriations Committee in the Senate, a very powerful senator in this building, has a new tact on that issue. You and I have also talked about the online sales tax issue, right? Collecting sales taxes from online purchases on websites like Amazon, which I tend to spend too much money ordering books from, where I don't have to pay a sales tax. And Senator Kinley has been a proponent for collecting those sales taxes. Well, his idea is to eliminate the state's inheritance tax and replace that revenue with the online sales tax. And I have some reservations about that, but we'll debate it. And it sounds like there might be some movement one way or another to eliminate the inheritance tax. So that on that side of it, that's good news. We'll see. Hopefully, if we have an opportunity to debate it and move the issue forward, if the Democrats come back and allow us to do that.
Anything else you have your eyes set on this session?
Well, there are so many issues. You know, I've introduced a few bills to try to make college education more affordable in our state at our public colleges, and some other education-related issues. Introduced a couple of pro-life bills, a couple of pro-Second Amendment gun rights bills as well, and so I'll be working hard on trying to move some of those issues forward and at least getting an opportunity to debate them and make the case. So we will be busy.
A couple more questions before we let you go. Do you want to comment on the results from the Iowa caucuses last night? Just amazing results.
You know, I stayed up and watched. Obviously another example that every vote counts, right? It can't be much closer than what it was. And you saw the thinning of the herd already with Michelle Bachmann dropping out of the presidential race this morning, and there was some talk of Rick Perry joining her, but it looks like he's going to move forward. I do look forward to the day when we have our candidate. We can all roll up our sleeves and work for the Republican candidate who's chosen and do what we need to do to beat Barack Obama.
I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to these upcoming debates. We have six debates happening in the month of January, two this weekend. Newt's kind of mad, and my guess is you don't want to be on his bad side unless you have a lot of money like Mitt Romney. But, boy, if Newt's going to go down in a ball of flames, he's going to try to take Romney with him.
That's right. Rick Santorum, obviously a great showing. I've always respected him as a good social conservative, being a social conservative myself, but he's kind of a mixed bag on a lot of economic issues, and he's the only candidate in the race who never took a beating from the media because he was always irrelevant, right?
He's about ready to.
And the next week is going to be very uncomfortable for him as we learn more about his record. And I have some concerns about some of the issues I've read about with him. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's hard to tell what will happen from here. Although my suspicion is that Mitt Romney will capture the nomination.
All right, last question for you. Big win for the Hoosiers over the weekend, beating number 2 Ohio State. They've now beat the number 1 and 2 ranked teams in the state, come in at number 12 in the AP poll. How happy are you?
Well, a great game. I was monitoring it on my BlackBerry on the way back from a hunting trip in Nebraska and couldn't have been more excited. Was disappointed a couple of days before that. They lost to Michigan State, but it's going to be a great year. I predict that IU will beat Purdue twice, if not times, if they meet them again in the Big Ten tournament. And if that's the case, then it's been a successful year.
All right, Jim, real quick, where can people find you, your work, and all that other good stuff?
Not hard to find. Just Google me on the Internet. Look for me on the state website. I try to keep folks posted, as I have a little bit today, on my Twitter and Facebook pages, but what in the world is going on at the State House, and we'll continue to do that for the next 10 weeks.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot, and avoid the demonstrators, I guess.
Will do. Take care.
All right, Jim Banks, State Senator Jim Banks, giving us an update from the General Assembly, and as you heard, the Democrats have locked themselves in their rooms, and they're not going to come out and play. Good tactic, bad? I don't know. It's and again, if you want to give us a ring on this, you can. 765-662-1400. Because that's what I'm here for. I am a sounding board. Or a punching bag, one. All right. When we come back, Tom Marquis, we'll talk about all the political news of the day, as we have been right here on the Gary Snyder Show.
There's a dream only you can dream, a life only you can live, a space only you can fill. That space is here at Indiana Wesleyan University. Our adult degree program offers accelerated degree options for working adults, with adult-friendly admissions, academic and financial aid services. IWU degree programs are personalized, professional, and principled. Courses are taught from a foundation rooted in Christian principles and ethics, and many IWU graduates become trusted leaders in area businesses. Courses are online, on campus, and right on the money, which is why Indiana Wesleyan has become the largest private university in Indiana.
Become a part of the next generation of leadership. Come fill the space and your potential at Indiana Wesleyan University. Find out more at IWUdegrees.com. That's IWUdegrees.com.
Very soon, our Indiana legislature will embark on a mission to pass right-to-work legislation. This divisive issue will paralyze our legislature and invoke more government intervention while obstructing the ability of workers to negotiate their terms of employment. Is this necessary? Because in today's challenging economy, Indiana features one of the most skilled, diverse, and nationally recognized workforces. So much so that Indiana, according to Governor Daniels, is the sixth most likely state for companies to relocate to, expand, and create new jobs. But there are Washington, D.C. lobbyists that are determined to undermine Indiana's momentum and the achievement of Hoosier workers by minimizing their potential income. Please take a moment and stand up to those who want to undermine Hoosier values and the work ethic of our blue-collar community. Let's call upon our friends in the legislature to tackle the important economic issues and that right to work is bad for Indiana. A message provided by Indiana Pipe Trades Association.
Bringing local news to Swayze, Amboy, and all of Grant County, we are 1400 WBAT.
From the WBAT newsroom, I'm Layla Price.
Marion police are investigating a break-in at American Legion Post 10 that occurred sometime Monday. Police say the Legion building on Pennsylvania Street was broken into early Monday morning by someone that apparently used a sledgehammer to enter the building. They stole an undisclosed amount of money from a cash register and a safe and damaged both while stealing the contents. Police say the thieves were apparently looking for cash only, as several other valuable items were left untouched inside the Legion Post. Police continue to investigate the break-in. The Marion City Council has a new president and vice president. Don Batchelor will serve his third term as council president. He joined the council in 2004, serving Ward 6 for the city. Retired teacher and principal Jocelyn Whitaker will serve as city council vice president. Whitaker is one of three incoming members, along with Paul Thompson Jr. and Fred Troxell. And the Indiana General Assembly has convened the 2012 short session with several key issues to tackle before the end of March. The biggest and most controversial issue is the right-to-work legislation that Republicans support and Democrats oppose. Republican State Senator Travis Holdman of Markle says he may support the right-to-work bill if there are carve-outs or compromises on issues regarding construction trades and major building projects. A year ago, House Democrats fled the state to deny the General Assembly a quorum to conduct business until they backed down on right-to-work. Holdman says that won't happen this year.
Politically, I'm not sure there's much left for them to do with the stay in seat. You know, they get three unexcused absences before the anti-bolting law kicks in, where they're fined $1,000 a day. But if they would very strategically plan those three unexcused absences, they could bring the session to a halt in the House.
Holdman says there's a possibility of compromise that could be in the works, though he says political maneuvering could prevent it from happening. From the WBAT Newsroom, I'm Layla Price. The 1400 WBAT forecast for tonight: partly cloudy skies, a low of 25. Thursday, partly cloudy in the morning, then becoming mostly sunny with a high of 42. Thursday night, mostly clear, then becoming partly cloudy with a low of 32 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny and windy with a high of 48. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 42. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
This is Fred Thompson, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Welcome. Now we're joined, like we are at this time every day, from now to the end. That would be Tom Marquis. Tom, welcome.
Well, I hope the end isn't something like Michelle Bachmann's end. I hope I got a lot longer left than today.
You know, all you had to do was see her, I'm not even calling it a concession speech, but see her speech last night at the end of the evening, and you knew right away that, boy, there just wasn't any excitement there.
Right. Well, you know what, and I saw the same thing with Rick Texas Perry, and I guess he's not got the memo, because he says, South Carolina, here we come.
You know, and when I sat there and watched his speech last night, and while I was watching it, he said, you know, he mentioned he was going back to Texas. He was going to reassess. And boy, you sure thought that maybe that was the end for Rick Perry. And I know I did. And, you know, first of all, I questioned it. Why would you if you still have that much money in the bank? You might as well go for it. You're one of seven people that could end up being president. You might as well, spend all you have, because let's be honest, it's not his money anyway, to try to make that happen. And if you still have a bank full of money, you might as well try it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got nothing to lose but to lose. So, you know, it's Here's kind of what I think. I think he purposely passed up New Hampshire to go to South Carolina, because if he can win South Carolina or come in the top three of South Carolina, I think that he feels like it'll be a successful campaign. And at that point, he might officially withdraw depending on where he falls. But I think it would be more of a graceful fall with South Carolina than Iowa. So I think that he wants the opportunity to see what South Carolina will result in, and that's exactly why he passed up New Hampshire to go right to South Carolina.
Well, and let's be honest, New Hampshire is Romney country. It's just north of the state that he was the governor of. He has a home there. His campaign headquarters are there. And you know, Romney is going to win, unless someone has pictures somewhere. Romney is going to win New Hampshire. And then we start heading south of the Mason-Dixon line, and where a lot of these Republican voters, especially in the South Carolina, that, you know, two-thirds of them consider themselves evangelicals, you know, it may be a different game down there.
Right, and absolutely. And here's the thing. You got to look at, as we refer to many times here on this show, the game of whack-a-mole or musical chairs. And I think that's exactly what is going on. And I think that Newt is really fired up. I think at this point he doesn't really care if he gets I would say he cares if he gets the nomination, but I think his ultimate goal is to try to really put a negative spin on Mitt. I think that's a big thing that he wants to do. He'll do well in South Carolina, and he'll do well in the South. And Santorum will do well in the South as well. So going back to the game of whack-a-mole or the musical chairs, if they can be standing without the chair being pulled out from underneath them when the music stops in the South, it could speak very, very, very well for Newt and Santorum.
Well, I think when you heard Newt Gingrich's concession speech last night, you heard him be very conciliatory towards Rick Santorum, very praising, heaping praise, if you would, even onto Rick Santorum. And a lot of the pundits last night basically said that was a Newt Gingrich concession speech. He was endorsing Rick Santorum, and he knows his campaign is going to crash and burn. He's just in it from now to make sure that when he does crash and burn, that he takes Mitt Romney with him.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Gary. I think that's exactly his plan, is to bring down Mitt. I think he wants to do to Mitt what Mitt did to him and what Bachman tried to do to him as well. And I think that he totally blames the fact that he didn't do as well as he had hoped in Iowa on Mitt Romney. So I think that's exactly what's going on there. And, you know,
let me just interrupt real quick while you have that point up, because I think he's right. I mean, when you take a look at Mitt Romney and the money this guy has, I mean, keep in mind, he will be our wealthiest president ever elected if he gets that, with a net worth, upwards of $250 million. And he is spending, or his campaign, or the super PAC, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same when it comes down to it. Spent an inordinate amount of money trashing Newt. And I think Newt has a right to be pissed.
Right. Well, sometimes that can backfire. And I think that Mitt's got to be very careful when he tries to do that. I think it may have worked well in Iowa, but I don't think that he needs to continue that, especially if Newt decides to stay in the race. And I think he'll do very, very, very well in South Carolina, if not win South Carolina. And if he wins South Carolina, that'll give him a huge shot in the arm, and maybe not to go to the nomination, but will give him a lot of ammunition to bring down Mitt. And you know, really, the more that we look at Santorum, I like him. I like what he was able to do in Iowa. I mean, really, if you look at it, even though the official by the numbers winner, if you want to call anybody a winner, was Mitt. But to me, it's a tie, and going back to grade school, all ties are losers. So really, nobody won. I think if anybody won, it was Rick Santorum. He came back from what he was able to do, and he was in everybody's house, everybody's business, everybody's church. Not literally, but everybody knew who he was by the time that they went to the caucus.
Oh, I would agree with you, Tom, that the winner last night was Rick Santorum. When you take a look at Mitt Romney, he basically, and I'm real close here, he received the same amount of votes he did 4 years ago. So he's ran a campaign in Iowa now basically for 5 years, and he's got no more votes than he did 4 years ago. So 75% of the Republican Party does not want him, or at least in Iowa, does not want him as the Republican nominee. That's gotta just scare the bejesus out of him. I don't know. Is that a word?
It's a word. I think that here's the thing. In order for me, if Mitt gets the nomination, which a lot of people think that he will, he's going to need to be nudged to the right. He's going to need to stop fucking that tight wire, like I was speaking about yesterday, and try to well, we just don't want to make anybody mad. And right now, a lot of people are saying, okay, well, Obama's loving this. This looks good for Obama. I would say completely the opposite. This looks very bad for Obama. It doesn't get right now, as long as all the media is focused on the GOP candidates and the GOP fights and the GOP Twitter fights and what's going on with the GOP, Obama isn't getting his message out. Obama's numbers are falling. So I think that economically, when you go head-to-head against Obama, Mitt might do well. But I think America is ready to go back to conservatism. America is ready to go back to conservative America. And, you know, I've said it before, Reagan was the example of what a Republican should be, and Newt brings that back alive in the Republican Party, and a lot of people like that.
I think you're partially right. I think Mitt right now, and you've seen this in a lot of the issues, because, to be honest, you really don't know where Mitt stands. You know what Mitt is saying now, but you know what he did when he was governor of Massachusetts. But Mitt right now is trying to move to the right. But I guarantee you, when the general election comes and you get past the 30% of liberals that vote and the 30% of conservatives that vote, and you have that middle ground of people you need to convince to win to win the presidency, that's when he has to move back to the left a little bit, back to the center. And my guess is the more he has to move to the right now, it's going to make it a lot harder for him to move back to the center, because I can see those Obama commercials, all $1 billion worth, coming at him come October. Well, first he was for this, and then he jumped all the way over here to the extreme, and look where he's at now. What does Mitt want? Is he someone that's closer to the center? Is he a right-wing extremist? What is Mitt? And you know, President Obama, and for all you want to say, right now President Obama's numbers are edging up. That's not good news if you're a Republican. You know, does that upward trend continue? Who knows? Depends on what the economy does. And it's always been my contention, when it comes time, when people start paying attention to this election, and the economy is perceived to be doing well, unemployment numbers are coming down, it's a mandate on the incumbent. And if the economy's doing well, Barack Obama's going to be reelected. If it's not doing well, then whoever wins the Republican nomination will most likely be elected. If you guys want to chime in on this, 765-662-1400. Again, 662-1400. We're talking Iowa caucuses right now. 765-662-1400. You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show. 21st Century Firearms. They're at 827 North Main Street in Bluffton, and they are your one stop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a big selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns, with one of the biggest inventories around at the best prices, period. They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, you can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stCenturyFirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stCenturyFirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6 Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-5530.
Hi, this is Stacy Keach, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
Joke downtown in the rain, 9:30 on a Tuesday. Just to check out the late night record shop. Call it imposing, call it composing, call it insane. When I'm surrounded, I just can't stop. It's a matter of instincts, a matter of conditioning, and a matter of fight. You can go where Pavlov's dog. Ring a bell and I'll salivate. How'd you like that? Dr. Landy, tell me, I'm not just a pentagon.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're just joining us, we're talking Iowa caucuses. If you would like to join the conversation, you can do that at 662-1400. All right, Tom, anything else? Any, closing thoughts on the Iowa caucuses last night as we get ready to head to New Hampshire?
Well, only this, and that's for your benefit as far as the Ron Paul supporters out there. Ron Paul probably just needs to make his official endorsement of somebody and turn over whatever campaign monies he has to help that candidate. I would hope it would be Santorum. Obviously, I think that the only state that really plays in his favor just because of the loose election laws that Iowa has is it was Iowa. I think it only goes downhill from here with Ron Paul. I think even though he came in a distant third, if you will, in my opinion, from the other two, and he certainly has a loyal band of followers, and he's in every presidential election, I think that his endorsement would go a long way. I think he needs to turn his endorsement over to Santorum, give him his money, and help him get the nomination.
Well, first of all, I don't think that's going to happen. And I would actually say, compared to how Ron Paul ran 4 years ago, it was probably a close third. But I guess perception is everything. Ron Paul is in this till the end. He has, whether you like him or hate him, he has a support that and a very impassioned support that you don't see from a lot of candidates right now. And when I take a look at the presidential race, at least on the Republican side, I don't see any excitement right now from most of the Republican voters for anyone except Ron Paul supporters. Now, is that enough to win? Who knows? Probably not. But with that being said, who would you get in your car and drive to Iowa and help right now? I can't say there's anybody I would.
Well, I think if I had the time and the money to drive to Iowa, which I did for the IndyCar this race, I will never drive to Iowa again. I will always fly to Iowa because forever drive of nothingness from here to there. But I'd like to see him go a lot farther, and I'd like to see what he's going to do in the South. And right now, as long as Newt's in it, Newt's my man. I'm like you. You support Paul, and you're excited about him.
I'm not a Pauly. My wife is a Pauly. I am not a Pauly. I'm kind of undecided. I kind of like Huntsman in this.
Well, I think Huntsman's another one that needs to just turn his money over. I think a lot of these independents who carry the support of a lot of the independent voters, Huntsman being one of them, needs to really throw their support behind Santorum and not Mitt. Because if you don't do that, Mitt's going to get the money and Mitt's going to get the nomination. Unfortunately, what I see ourselves in is in the same boat that we did in the last election by running a moderate of John McCain. That's why he had to run a huge, huge conservative running mate.
And that's why he endorsed Mitt Romney today, especially even after all those really, really nasty things they said about each other 4 years ago.
And I think that Sarah Palin's endorsement, whoever that might be, she's holding out on that for the moment, will go a long, long, long way for the future candidate of the GOP party.
Well, I will say she did put out a statement last night that said, don't discount Ron Paul and his supporters. The Paulies were all over that statement. Well, let's move to the State House a little bit. You were on the air with us yesterday as we were speaking with Brian Howie of HowiePolitics.com. We get Brian lets us know about the new security measures at the State House. He says, hey, I want all of your listeners to call the governor. Gave the number. We gave it several times. We put it up on the website. And sure enough, this morning, the governor rescinds those new security measures. So, hey, why don't we just take credit for it? Because as far as I know, we were the only ones doing it.
Hey, well, we'll say the Gary Snyder Show single-handedly caused the repeal of the new security measures at the State House. I think it's good. I agreed with what Brian Howie had to say. I was kind of disappointed in the whole measure. Now, I can tell you one thing. Mitch did leave him a little wiggle room. He said, we'll repeal it or rescind it as long as we don't have any trouble. So, you know, like we said all along, it was about the protesters and the fear of the protesters, not about fire.
Exactly. And I spent an hour the other night, I spent 2 or 3 hours fighting with what I'm calling Republican hacks. And if you know me, I am not a hack. Well, maybe a little, but not a Republican hack. You know, I take issues and look at them independently from party. But I call this from the start. This had nothing to do with fire safety. This had everything to do with partisanship and the Republican hootie-tootie legislators not wanting the people in their house protesting. And I fought for hours with Republican after Republican, and I'm telling you what, boy, they had to feel kind of stupid today when Governor Daniels pulled the rug out underneath that argument.
Well, I can tell you what, I think this right to work passage should pass. I think it's great for the state of Indiana. I support it. But there again, what's great about being an American is we can have different opinions without persecution from the government. And as mild as it sounds,
you just get persecution from me.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right. So as mild as that sounds, when you prevent Americans from doing their right, and that's freedom of speech, which is protesting in a nonviolent way, that's huge. So I think they do have the right to protest. I don't agree with the Democrats going to a closed room and, you know, trying to do this all over again. I mean, I really think they're going to hurt their cause more than they are going to help their cause. And you've got a few union loyalists and band of rebels out there that are whispering in the crowd and trying to get the crowd riled up and trying to get them to scream really loud. But that's all it is. It's a lot of noise. And I think in the end, even though Brian Howie thinks there's a couple of Republicans that think that perhaps that they have some reservations about this right to work passage, they are freshmen. They have the ability to be influenced, if you will. Well, you know, we've got some committees. Basically, what I'm trying to say is Brian Bosma gets this passage, this right to work passage passed in this session, and they've made it a top priority. Agree with it or not, it is something that's going to pass this session.
Well, it's unfortunate the Democrats have decided to do this again. And speaking with Kip, too, a little earlier today, my guess is nothing will get done this legislative session. Kip, a former state Democratic chairman, points out that, you know, the numbers are there for them to do what they are calling a rolling walkout. And as long as right-to-work legislation is on the table, don't expect Democrats to show up, or at least enough of them, to present a quorum. They've locked themselves in their bedroom. They're not coming out. And, you know, hey, we have an election this year. So if nothing gets done, especially on right to work, and it is as popular as the Republicans say it is, and if as many people want it as me and you, then it'll, you know, they will pay the price at the they'll pay the price at the polls this fall. But, you know, as Kip Tu said, hey, you know, they're already supermajority in the Senate. They're close to a supermajority in the House. We really don't have anything left to lose. And he reminded me, and I did not know this, that the last time the Democrats did this in the 1990s, they came back the next legislative election and took control of the House. So, you know, we'll have to see. All right, we're going to take our break here. When we come back, we have Tom, we have Jay from the Jay Graves Report. We'll see what Jay is up to today. And a little more Iowa caucus politics maybe next hour too. So stay tuned. I want to thank our guests this hour, which obviously included State Senator Jim Banks from Indianapolis, from the floor of the, well, not the floor, but probably the office building of the General Assembly. All right, you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.